What's up, Blazer fans? Welcome to We Have a Take the What podcast. I am Tara Bowen Biggs, and I am joined by Rose Harding. Hey, Rose.
Hi, Tara. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Did you recently color your hair a beautiful red color? It looks amazing.
You know, I did it like a month ago, but when you color your hair, it just kind of changes over time. So like right now on a camera, which you can see, it is like far more vibrant than it was before because it was a little bit darker when I first had it done.
You're like totally representing the blazer right now. Blazers right now. It looks amazing. I want to show you. I have a new sweatshirt I haven't showed you yet.
Oh, you got one. Tara has a PDX carpet sweatshirt now.
I'm so excited. I was at the game last night and so many people were running around in various PDX carpet, either the uniform, you know, the jerseys or the sweatshirts or the t-shirts or the hats. Like, I'm shocked at how much we have just embraced the have embraced the PDX carpet, because I was so skeptical and so rolling my eyes over it when it first came out. But man, they hit it out of the park on this one. So I have a big one. It's got the big block letters with the carpet on it. And I love it. I'm so excited.
I didn't realize how big the letters would be. Like, those letters look really big. Like, they, you could see that, like, you know, way down the concourse at Moda.
Yeah. Well, because I'd been looking at all the different varieties that you could get. And this is the one I like the best. You know, it like says nothing blazery. There's like nothing blazery about it. So like in 5 years from now, you will have to have known, you know, about the City Edition jerseys to have any idea that has anything that I'm not actually just like really proud of the airport. But
yeah, we did make a lot of PDX carpet like merch in Portland for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And everything was PDX carpet. So it could just be that.
I think the funniest thing about the PDX carpet is the piece of PDX carpet that's actually in the Moda Center is the most disgusting thing you've ever seen in your life. You could just tell it's just like team. It's just so gross. They have it, I don't know, up on the 300 level for people who haven't ever been there. It's up on the 300 level. It's probably like a 10 by 10 scrap of the carpet, which they gave away back when they took it out. And it is like, it's faded. It's threadbare. It's like, it's got to be still full of germs from all of the years. It's so gross. It's like, I feel like maybe they should like replace that with something else until like they come up with like new carpet that they could put in there, so it just doesn't look, it looks so depressing. It just looks like something in the back of like, I don't know, some abandoned warehouse.
Is it set up so people can take like foot selfies?
Yes
at the Moda Center.
Yeah,
so it's just been tread on by tons and tons of fans over the years.
Yeah, in addition to all the people who walked through it on the airport when it was in the airport.
Yeah, not great.
Anyway, okay. Well, let's start with our icebreaker today. This is one. Okay, I'll just ask it. Are you more love to win or hate to lose? And the reason I'm asking is because I'm torn about whether or not those are even two different things. I think they are. There's love to win and then there's hate to lose. And so I'm always like watching players trying to decide if they're more love to win or hate to lose, but maybe I'm like completely wrong and this isn't even a thing. So do you have any thoughts on that for you?
Oh, yes, I do. I agree with you. I think they're different things. And two, I don't think that people are necessarily one or the other, like as like a, mm-hmm. like a rule about their lives. I think it very much depends on a couple of factors, but one of the main ones being who you're playing.
Interesting.
Because some people love to beat certain teams, but they really more than anything hate to lose to those teams. You know, it's like the Lakers. It's like, yeah, we love to win, but do we love to win more than we hate to lose to the Lakers? Yeah. So I would say I am a love to win person. Mm-hmm. However, there are teams that I just hate to lose to. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that that's where my worst fandom lives, is like the deepest, darkest places is the teams where I hate to lose them. I'm like, I hate looking at you. I hate seeing you joyful. I don't want to see you smile. I hate watching you complain to the referee. Everything about you is so hateable. And you know what? I hate to lose to you so much that we're going to have to just win tonight.
Okay. So is the Lakers one of those teams?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Who else?
The Jazz.
Yes.
Oh my God, the jazz. I can't be the only one who feels that way.
No, no. Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. No, that's a good thing. And I was kind of, I'm thinking about it as sort of like more like as a slider. Like, where do you put your little slider thing, more towards the love to win side or the hate to lose side? So you're a love to win person.
I think so. Except for those circumstances, certain circumstances.
Okay, except for under circumstances. Yeah, I'm definitely a love to win person. Like, winning is so much more fun than losing. But losing, like, really doesn't stick to me very long. Like, I just, like, meh. Like, I have, like, such amnesia for losing. I just, like, move on. And even, like, when I played, you know, sports myself, like I really didn't, which is probably why I, you know, didn't make it anywhere in sports, because I really didn't care about losing all that. I like forgot, like if it was over, I'm like, hey, what was the score? I don't remember. I don't even know what the score was. How much did we lose by? Like it was either, it felt like it sucked because like we lost by a lot, or I was like, oh, that was close, you know? So like, I guess it came up because, you know, with the way the Blazers have been playing lately, I miss winning. I miss winning, but the losses haven't bothered me that much. And I know they're really bothering a lot of people, and some losses have bothered me more than others, but I just kind of feel like, I don't know, they're just stacking them up all at once. And I'm just ready to move on and see the next one and a new opportunity to win rather than just like rolling around in the misery of the losses.
Some losses feel really bad to me. I don't think it's all losses, but like, so like, remember we, right before we beat the Mavericks on Saturday, we lost to the Cavs.
Uh-huh.
And that loss did not bother me at all. I'm like, we looked like we got our groove back in a lot of ways. The Cavs are really good.
Uh-huh.
And like against a lot of other teams, that's a win. Uh-huh. Like the level that we played at was a win.
Uh-huh.
And so that loss didn't really bother me. Like the loss to Orlando, that bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
That one stuck with me like at least for like a couple of hours, and then I had to eat a snack and go to bed.
I think the ones that bothered me the most were the Oklahoma City losses. Yeah. I don't think anyone has bothered me as much as since then. And a large part of the reason that bothered me was because that was the night that Damian set the first one was the night Damian set the record, and like really you guys couldn't just for Damian. And so I guess that's, you know, also sort of the lingering thing about which was the game that Damian scored 50? They're all starting to run together.
The first one, right?
Was that Orlando where Damian scored 50?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was Orlando.
Yeah. So that was another one where it kind of feels like a waste. Nothing will feel worse than when Damian scored 60 against Atlanta and they lost that game. That was the worst loss of this particular team that I can remember. That was years ago.
Those are L's, I feel like, that shade away some of the joy that you could be feeling for this like great accomplishment.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in general, it's hard because last night was a win against Dallas, and I'm such a, you know, prisoner of the moment that I'm like, everything is great, but it's been rough, and it's been, I think, pretty rough ever since they got close to breaking Damian Lillard's record. And kind of my thought on that is that I think they just kind of all got in their heads about that, and they just have had a really hard time shaking themselves out of it. But how have you felt about, like, is it like, you know, blow everything up, start all over again? You know, where are you feeling, falling?
I just can never like bring myself to be that dramatic on like a single slide, I guess. And like, you know, so, you know, me, I come from like a background of research, and I'm like, oh, sometimes you just have a bunch of observations that, you know, feel bad, but you know, when the laws of big numbers all shake out, then, you know, it'll be fine. But, you know, I look a lot more like at long-term trends than anything. And I just feel like we're kind of in a bad place right now. And I feel like also we started asking guys to do some different things than they had been doing. I don't know what happened to Josh Hart, but like someone or something got into Josh Hart's head that he's not shooting open mm-hmm. looks anymore. And I don't know what that's about. And maybe that's just a bad trend. I don't know. But I feel like if that doesn't stick around for long term, which God bless, we saw him take a three in that Mavericks game and it went in and he threw his arms up with such joy. I was like, maybe he got it right. I don't know. Maybe he's like whatever was going on in there is gone now. But, you know, I think that sometimes guys, they get out of their comfort zone. They're asked to play, or they think that they should play in a way that doesn't necessarily suit them or suit the moment. I don't know. Like, maybe there's also a shakeup because, like, you know, everybody knows that Gary Payton needs minutes. And they're all like, where are these minutes going to come from? Who are they coming from? That doesn't really seem that plausible to me, considering how many, like, young guys are getting a lot of run in weird places. But mm-hmm. You just never know. So a lot of changes going on. Trenton all of a sudden doesn't play at all anymore.
I know. Really, I'm kind of bummed about that. Partly because I always thought that when Trenton went in, he was one of their best communicators on defense. And I feel like they have really needed that. On the other hand, I really love Jabari and what I've seen from him and his natural instincts. And he's just like a little bit quicker. And also, defense hasn't really been the problem. You know, okay, there were the 6 alley-oops in the first 6 minutes of the game of the Cleveland game. Yeah. That was rough. That was like, okay, what are you guys doing? What is happening? How are you letting Jarrett Allen get like so open every single moment of, you know, of all the time? But in general, I don't think defense has been the problem. It's just that their offense has left them and they, you know, they hang their hats on their offense. And when their offense has left them, you know, what are you going to do? And like, to go back to like the Damian setting the record thing, prior to that, I remember having conversations talking about how the great thing about this team is they never hesitate. They're just not hesitating at all. And then all of a sudden they've started hesitating. And I really think it's because they started thinking, oh, I should get this. I mean, I know nothing about basketball, what it's like to be an NBA player, but it appeared to me that they started overthinking, should I be giving this to Dame? Should I be shooting this? Really, is it mine to shoot? And they just like overthought it a little bit too much and had a hard time getting out of it.
Do you remember at the beginning of the season, we had a discussion about how like this team last year passed a lot more than the Stotts, like the the previous Stotts team. They were just better at passing. And I was like, well, not all passes are the same. Some passes are out of indecision. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've gotten to that point in our season where I'm seeing guys pass up open looks, trying to get, I don't know, a better shot or a different shot. Or they're like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be shooting this. Maybe I should be getting it to Ant or whoever. And then we like end up in like a shot clock situation. Like I feel like I've seen a lot of shot clock violations or like shots that just have to go up that aren't very good because they've run out of time to find a good one, even though they may have passed one up like with 8 seconds to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little bit of overpassing. They're definitely moving the ball a lot more, which also provides a lot more room for turnovers.
Yeah. Which we've seen quite a bit of. Although I feel like maybe we've plateaued there. I don't know. Like for a while there, it was just like, I just felt like every like fourth possession was a turnover.
Mm-hmm. They had a couple of games where they were up in the 20s. And then in the loss to Cleveland, I was kind of joking, but not really joking when I tweeted that not everything was bad. They had more assists than turnovers that night. So that was good. They had like 17 assists, which is not very many, but only 16 turnovers. But yeah, it's just weird. And like, I don't necessarily think the bench is going to save them. You know, I think it's a lack of shooting or just a lack of like instant offense, which is why it just breaks my heart that they don't have Ben McLemore to come off of the bench because he's such instant offense. It's like a guy who like could just sit there and then jump up and like shoot, like just shoot. But they don't have that. And like none of the guys who were like Justice Winslow, when he comes back, he's not a shooter. And Nas, you know, is, you know, a minor shooter, but he's not like a major shooter. And Gary, you know, is not a big shooter, but you know, last night was promising. I don't know what was wrong with Luka, and I'm fearful now of what Luka is going to do on Sunday night after having been so quiet last night. And I would give anything to know what Luca was saying to Damien last night. Were they talking about that on the broadcast at all?
I mean, they showed it a couple of times. I don't know if they were, I don't recall if they were talking about what was being said or whatever, but like, I mean, if you see on the replay, Luca like kind of throws like a lame elbow. It's like, it's not a hard elbow. And he definitely like, you know, he chicken wings it out there to like kind of poke Dame with it. Mm-hmm. Dame doesn't get poked hard. Dame reacted. And then Luca does this, what me? Oh, I never did anything wrong in my entire life. I'm a saint. My mom says so. Everybody thinks that. Like, you know, he just does that thing that's very incredulous. But it was like, at that point, the game was like pretty decided. Mm-hmm. I think it was like pretty late and they were still down by quite a bit. It was like, Dame was, he like reacted, but then he was like pretty unbothered by it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not proud. I was hoping that there were going to be fisticuffs. We were the 300 level was like, bye. Bye. The 300 level was very excited about a fight between those two. I do not condone fighting, although I think I might pay to see them, those two in a ring, you know, because of how good Damien is at boxing. And even though he would be going up against this guy who's like massive and just like, just freakishly like good at everything he does, I would still pay good money to see the two of them in a ring in a controlled situation. But it was,
I think it's very funny to me that Luca, like, he has this like, he, so he's like, he's big, right? He's a big, I don't know if you call him a guard, he's, I guess he's a guard. Whatever he is, he's big and mm-hmm. thick, but he also like cries a lot.
he had one, remember how he was missing all those free throws, which was also just a beauty, joyful thing to behold. He missed a free throw and he turns around and like yells at the ref, and we were like, why is he yelling at the ref? Because he missed a free throw. The ref had nothing to do with that.
I don't know if this is true or not, but I feel like that challenge, that weird challenge that they threw out there, was because Jason Kidd was like, just shut up, Luca. Here's your challenge. It was like a completely nonsensical, like out of bounds challenge. I don't know. Like, it was in the third quarter. It didn't make any sense. It wasn't like game consequential at all, but Luca was crying about it. And I was like, maybe, just maybe, this is like how Jason Kidd, this is like Jason Kidd's binky. He's like, here you go, Luca. Here's your binky. Here's your challenge. This is all for you. Now let mama do her job.
Oh my God. That is so funny. And it makes me wonder, do I want to say what I wanted to say? Because I was so happy that Coach Billups finally challenged something the other night for Nurkic. Because
yes,
we were like, you know, I actually thought that the challenge machine was malfunctioning because I was like, he's not actually challenging that, is it? But not because I cared so much about whether or not that call got overturned, but because sometimes you just have to show your players that you believe in them. And like Stotts would do that for Zach Collins. And that would give Zach Collins such a burst of confidence. He would do it early in the game. And like that first quarter, it would be like, what are you doing? It's like, oh, you're telling Zach Collins, look, I believe in you. And mm-hmm. so I was so happy when he did that for Nurk. But when you say it that way, it's kind of like a binky that stop Luca's crying. I'm like, oh, was that the same thing that Coach was doing for Nurkic? But Nurkic is not a crier.
It's a carrot for Nurkic. You know, you like learn whether you have a carrot or a stick kid, you know, like for Nurkic, it's a carrot. And he's like very motivated by positive reinforcement.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That is a good way to, that's a good way to put it. Oh my God. I'm going to have that image now.
Luca with his little binky, his challenge.
With one of those little things that keeps it pinned onto his like shirt, you know, so he doesn't lose it. I mean, I guess that's basically what their like mouth guards are.
Yeah, totally. Those guys, they like hanging out of their mouth. Like, is it like Steph? Steph like chews on his, like it's like a baby chewing on its binky that's teething.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad they wear them because it helps with safety. So we're a safety first podcast. Okay. Anyway, should we move on to the meat of what we're going to talk about today?
Yes, let's do it.
So we want to get to know a couple players. And this week we're going to talk about Shaden and we're going to talk about Gary. So do you want to go first and talk about Shaden, go in age order, or do you want to go in alphabetical order and I'll do Gary?
I'll start with Shaden. Okay. Shaden, I'll say this. Shaden mostly was me uncovering like his high school and very brief college stint. And like most of what we know about Shaden is basically covered in that amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he's young.
Yeah, he's a mystery. I mean, that's half the fun about Shaden is the mystery. And that part was really confusing to me. So I'm glad that you are going to talk about it.
Whew. Okay, I'll say this. It was hard to find unbiased articles written about this because a lot of the coverage that he received for at least what happened in Kentucky was from like Kentucky sports people. And those people all have a point of view, right? Because mm-hmm. they're Kentucky sports fans.
Mm-hmm.
So Shaden, born May 30th in 2003, for anyone who wants to feel old. In London, Ontario. His mother is Julia. His father is Robert. And I like the idea that it's Julia and Robert, like Julia Roberts. He is the middle child of three. He has an older sister and a younger brother. In high school, so before high school, I'll say, in middle school, he originally wanted to be a football player, but he broke his right tibia right before he went into high school. And so he knew that he was going to have to choose a sport, basketball or football. And so that like injury just kind of diverted his path and made it an easy choice to go into basketball as opposed to football.
Do you know, is it American football or soccer football?
I assume American football, but maybe I don't know now. These are all articles written in the United States. So I would assume that they're talking about.
Yeah,
but also, doesn't Canada call it soccer too?
I don't know.
I think Canada calls it soccer. I think that Australia calls it soccer. Like, I don't think it's just us.
Okay. I was assuming Canada did the same thing in England, but that makes sense because they're actually closer and share more sports media probably with the U.S.
Also, the way these articles were written, it was like clear that like they perceived football to be a far more dangerous sport.
Yeah.
So makes sense. My assumption would be like American football.
Yeah. Like you do not hear people talk about like, oh, don't play soccer. It's like too hard, except for like the concussions. But but yeah, American football is a way scarier one. Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
So anyway, he decided to play basketball. He played basketball in London, Ontario for just his freshman year. He played at HB Beale Secondary School. And then by the time he was a sophomore, he was transferring to American high schools. So his sophomore year, he played for the Sunrise Christian Academy in Bel Air, Kansas. And he didn't really play much there. He didn't really find a place. They weren't like making him very central to what they were doing there. So he decided to go look for another high school, which is wild because this just feels like pre-college type of like, it reminds me of like the way like some college players kind of hunt around for a place where they can get like a starting spot.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so his junior year, he went to the Dream City Christian School in Glendale, Arizona, where he was perceived to be like a very like highly rated prospect for college. He was scouted by like, I think Arizona and Kentucky and Kansas. Who else was it? Oklahoma State. And you know, there was talk about him playing his like exploring a fifth year of eligibility with them to play 5 years of high school, I guess. And then it's his senior year. I think he kind of surprised people where he played just a few games in October, his senior year at the same school at Dream City. And then he announced he was enrolling at Kentucky in November of his senior year.
And yeah, so that's really weird because that's completely the wrong time of year.
Yeah. So they were like, they pulled him out. They said he graduated that year in December from high school. And then he enrolled at Kentucky in November. I'm not really sure how you even do that. But the Kentucky wasn't really expecting him to show up, even though they had recruited him. They didn't like Shaden's team had to like, they like went to Kentucky and they're like, by the way, do you have a spare scholarship lying around for this season? And they were like, what? Oh, yeah, we do. And they're like, cool. Well, I think he's not going to be waiting until next year. He's going to come this year. And they were so they were a little bit surprised. It was more like Kentucky didn't like it. It sounded like Kentucky did not was not part of the decision making process for this. But he was like one of the top prospects for that class. So they were just like, yes, I guess we just will take you however we can get you.
So they were expecting, he wouldn't have been expecting him till the next year, yeah, but he just kind of showed up and they
2022.
Were like, okay.
They thought he was going to be coming 2022. He showed up in the winter of 2020. Sorry. Yeah. In the winter of 2021.
This reminds me of like nightmares that I used to have where like I showed up for college, like at the wrong year, like, or like, I showed up at the test on the wrong date, or like, you know, and they're not ready for you. And you're like, what am I supposed to do? And like in the dream, you're like running around and trying to figure out what you're doing. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. So this is all like a really bizarre, like, this is why I think people have a hard time understanding what happened to him from high school to college, college to pro, because the information was weird. The information wasn't good and it was very atypical. Like, it's not like a standard thing that he did. So he showed up for the 2021 to 22 season and his team said that he was going to redshirt that year and then play in the 2022-23 season. And the reason for him doing that is he wanted to, like, I don't know, all over these articles, it says he was just trying to get his body right and stuff like that. I don't know what that means. That sounds like a guy who, I don't know. That sounds like a really good catch-all excuse for an athlete when they're trying to explain what they're doing. They're getting their body right. So anyway, that's what he said he was doing. So this is the weird part. Shaden has, I don't know if he still has, but he had at the time, a mentor named Dwayne Washington, who was like an AAU coach in Canada, who was someone who worked to mentor Shai Gilgeous-Alexander before him, Josh Primo. It sounds like he's like heavily involved in like Canadian prospects for the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And as we all know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander also went to University of Kentucky. So he had theoretically a good relationship with the head coach there, John Calipari.
Mm-hmm.
And he helped steer Shai Gilgeous-Alexander there and also Shaden Sharpe there. So people weren't sure whether he was really going to play or not. His team said that he was going to redshirt and then come back the next year. The coach, on February 7th of that season, so like kind of later in the basketball season, he said that Sharpe would not play for Kentucky since he was, quote, committed to bettering himself and our team in practice this year and being better prepared to lead us next season. So in February, they were still talking about him like he's going to play next season.
Okay.
And nothing from the Kentucky side that I saw, like official stuff, said that there was anything wrong with that. Now, here's where it gets sketchy, and here's where it gets probably quite biased, is that the Kentucky sports coverage was very critical of what happened next, because allegedly private sources were saying that Shaden's mentor, Dwayne Washington, was telling people that he was going to the NBA draft that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was saying to the University of Kentucky, oh, he's 100% coming back and playing the 2022-23 season. We obviously know now that did not happen. But people were very skeptical about this, whether he was even eligible, because his high school graduation date was supposed to be in December 2021, which I think would have made him not eligible, because he would have to be far enough removed from high school to be eligible for that draft. And then there was also these, I don't know what kind, how official these reports are, but that Dwayne Washington was trying to be approved to become his agent.
Mm-hmm.
He did not have an agent. And actually Shaden Sharpe did not sign with an agent until October after he had been drafted. Like when the season was about to start, he did not have an agent.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Hmm.
And it's rumored that is because his mentor Dwayne Washington was trying to become an agent to be his agent. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the excuses that apparently he used when he talked to the press. He's like, Shaden's not going to the draft, he doesn't even have an agent.
Oh, wow.
So I don't really know what happened with that. I don't really know the true story about that guy. I don't super duper know what's going on with his mentor exactly, but I know that he spoke for him a lot throughout mm-hmm. his time at Kentucky and throughout his time throughout the NBA draft process. Shaden did not have an agent until October when he signed with, hold on, let me look. He signed with the guy who represents like Jamal Murray and Dylan Brooks and Dwight Powell, Mike George of One Legacy Sports. And he signed with him in October 2022.
Okay, after he was drafted. So it sounds like one of the reasons we've all been so confused is because he went to Kentucky at a kind of an unusual time of year. He didn't start like in the fall with everybody. He just suddenly was like there. And it was confusing whether or not he was going to be there and come back, because some people were saying he was going to be there and come back next year. And other people were wondering whether or not he was going to enter the draft. And when he did end up entering the draft, the people in Kentucky felt pretty betrayed because they had been hearing the story that he was staying.
Yeah. So it sounds like Dwayne Washington was telling two stories. He was telling the story to the Kentucky that he's definitely coming back to play for you next year. And he was telling the story to the NBA scouts and whoever else that he's definitely going to the draft. Mm-hmm. And they were all hearing from different people that these stories were being told, but nobody knew for sure what he was really going to do until. And so here's the other thing that made it extra strange. So Shaden's reported high school graduation date was December 2021. And then they were determining his eligibility to enter the 2022 draft, that magically changed to May 2021, that he had graduated high school in May of 2021 and not December 2021, which like is the op it, it which is it, I'll say this, it disagrees with something that his mentor Dwayne Washington was saying publicly to people, which was that he's not even eligible for the draft. Of course he's coming back for 2022-2023 at Kentucky. He doesn't have an agent. He hasn't graduated high school in time. Like, why are you even asking about this? And then it turned out that his high school graduation date, whether this is true or not, was changed to May 2021, which made him eligible for the 2022 draft. I don't know what the real story is there, but I know that there was somebody out there speaking on his behalf that made it very confusing for people to know what was going on with him.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded also like people said that, like, again, I don't know who these people are, because these are all like sources for Kentucky sports writers, that Dwayne Washington was privately looking for like a top 10 or a top 5 guarantee for him to be in the draft that year for 2022. And if they could get like a lottery pick guarantee from a team, that they would definitely put him in the draft.
And that's the conjecture from the sports people. Yes.
From Kentucky sports writers, this is their perception based on sources that they have, that Shaden was being shopped around for like a verbal commitment to draft him early.
When you were reading up all of this, trying to like get this whole story straight and figured out, because it is very confusing. What are your thoughts on like what it must be like for Shaden?
So this is interesting, because it sounds like he has really great family, really supportive, but he's been like not in their care because he's been around the country, you know, around the United States since he was in high school. Like, think about it. He was like 14 or 15 when he left home. Like, it makes me wonder if they just were looking for somebody who knew more about basketball to help guide him. And this is a guy who they found this guy, this AAU coach that was his mentor, that had mentored other guys to the NBA. Mm-hmm. And they were like, that's the guy. Mm-hmm. Because he seems like he's trying to be like that guy for Canadian basketball players. And I kind of wonder if Shaden was just like, this is just who you trust. Because this is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how he feels about it. I have no idea what it must have felt like to be him. But it makes sense to me that navigating the high school to college to NBA pipeline without anyone who's well versed in that journey, would be impossible, right?
Yeah.
It would be very
really
hard
to
manage
do.
That.
Yeah.
Yes. Especially like they have two other kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shaden is not their only child, and they can't be with him constantly as he travels to fulfill his basketball dream. So it sort of makes sense to me that they tried to find somebody that they could trust to help, like, mentor him through that. And maybe that guy didn't end up being, like, as straightforward and forthcoming as he should be. So it's very interesting to me that, so the basketball players that I've seen this guy connected to are Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, RJ Barrett, Josh Primo. And then there's one other guy that's on his personal website, or on his business website, that's a player at Alabama. And I think that's interesting also because Josh Primo went to Alabama. So maybe this guy is well connected to, like, a couple of elite, like, or like high level American basketball schools. And that was also, like, attractive to somebody looking to make their way from, because you have to, you know, it's like at this point, you cannot bypass college to get into the NBA. I mean, you can, but there's very few ways to do it. And to secure a scholarship from a school that, you know, NBA scouts are going to look at, like, that's probably really attractive.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting they didn't go the IMG extra year, you know, academy route, or the Ignite, or the, you know, the G League route. I imagine it's also hard to, like, try to figure out, like, when you're going to be the guy who's going to, like, shepherd young stars into the league. Like, having to navigate that's also got to be, like, a shifting landscape constantly. But what it makes me think about Shaden is that now that he's made it into the league and seeing how much he's, like, relaxed and blossomed, even though he's in this completely new world, like, I imagine being, like, 19 years old and having all those, like, blogs writing about you and writing about your people and what are you gonna do and being mad at you and, like, that, like, you know. To his credit, he doesn't seem, like, you know, broken for it or whatever. Like, maybe he was able to just, like, leave that all aside. But, like, it's funny to me that now that he's made it to the NBA, which is, like, its own, you know, set of, like, complicated, like, you know, rules and what have you, that he's now able to, like, kind of come into his own and relax a little bit because he's here and, like, the story is a little bit more straightforward because all eyes are on him, that, you know, it seems like an anomaly that now that all eyes are truly on him, he can actually relax a little bit. It usually seems like it's the other way around.
Yeah. Although it's interesting because now one of the other things that makes me think about that, though, is, like, he now he has, like, an NBA agent, an agent who guides other NBA careers, good careers, like, Jamal Murray he's in a great situation. He got a great contract in Denver and.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like having somebody else to help him, like, through his journey is good and important, because before there was, like, it seems like there was one guy who helped him, who knew everything about what he didn't know about. And now he has multiple people that can help him, that he's that helps other players, that you can look at their careers and know that they have good careers. I don't know. So, okay. So this guy, Dwayne Washington, did not become his agent, obviously. I don't think he's not an agent. It looks like when I searched him, he has a management group, crossover management group, where he manages, like, marketing for players. But his website lists two guys. It's one of those guys from Alabama that I told you about. And then Shaden. And their site is very crappy. And when I looked at their socials, they haven't posted basically since December 2021 when they said that they signed Shaden. And who knows? I don't even know what his relationship is with this guy anymore or what this guy is doing anymore. And maybe I wonder if Shaden has actually made more of a transition to, like, relying on his NBA agent to help guide his process from here on out. Because the other guy, like, he's not anyone's agent. He's not continuing to work with these guys necessarily through their NBA careers. Maybe he is, but, like, I don't know. I don't see him tweeting about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on his account with 30 followers. So it's possible he also just has, like, more diverse and more experienced mentorship now available to him, which would be great, which is great. Cause it sounds like he needed it. And I don't know, like, I kind of feel for these guys because, like, a lot of them don't know other successful NBA players and know how to get connected to the right people and know what path is typical and what is not. Like, at the time, he may not have known how atypical this mm-hmm. path was. But it sounds like they were really committed to getting into the NBA as soon as possible. That's what it felt like when I look at this story, like in its entirety, is that they found out that they would be able to get him to the NBA 1 year sooner by doing this funny half season mm-hmm. in Kentucky thing, and that they could either, I don't know if he actually graduated in when he graduated, but they could obtain the right paperwork to say that he graduated on time to be eligible for the draft. So if that's just your goal to get to the NBA as soon as possible, they achieved it, even though it was kind of atypical.
Mm-hmm.
He's incredibly talented. Like, he's a crazy talent, and I sort of understand, like, that he's just decided, like, I'm going to the NBA, I'm getting to the NBA as fast as possible. I understand that, and I also have my own personal feelings about whether we should send guys to college
mm-hmm.
if they are that talented that they could just go straight to the NBA. But at the end of the day, like, he took a route that got him to his destination as fast as possible. And mm-hmm. it's hard to, like, fault a guy for that, I guess.
Yeah. And I said, he seems like he's in a good place. And I loved when they played in Toronto, how many people I think he said there are like 50 people there for him. Mm-hmm. His parents looked so excited to be there. And it was so nice to, it's just been so nice to see him, like, blossom and open up a little bit. And maybe now it's because, like, things are assured, you know?
Yeah.
He's in the NBA. All he has to do now is work super hard, but it's like up to him now and what he does, rather than sort of being at the whim or mercy of all these other larger interests.
Yeah. And he's not, and the other thing I was realizing, like, this is like the first time in a long time for him, I mean probably ever, where he has a team that helps him prepare for games, and then he plays in those games, and then he watches tape on those games, because mm-hmm. he didn't do that in college.
Yeah.
Like, he has like he's surrounded by professionals who are there to help him develop his game. And, like, you know, he's all the stuff at Kentucky was like, oh, he's getting his body right, he's training hard, he's in the gym or whatever. I'm like, but there are some elements of becoming a player that are hard to develop doing it just that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's finally in a position where we can really see, like, big growth when he has that development team around him. And, like, just like the more full basketball experience, right? Because I always think about this, like, what is a basketball player when they're not playing in games?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ant did the same thing. And I'm like, how do you?
They're working out, they're scrimmaging, you know, they're I guess they're not watching their own tape, but they're also, like, learning the plays, they're learning how the team plays, that kind of stuff.
It feels just like a little bit like theoretical, sort of.
Yeah.
It's like you're theoretically trying to translate these gifts and these skills into a game situation, but you don't get to test the theory until you actually play.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exciting.
Yeah.
But it also, like, that would be very, mentally for me, that would be very hard if that had been my chosen path.
Yeah. Well, and they also don't get to practice very much, but they do. I think the younger players, I think, do get a chance to scrimmage more than the older players, as far as I understand. I'm really, from what I've heard about him, I'm really glad that he's landed somewhere, that he's settled somewhere. And I'm really curious, like, he's so young right now. Like, I wonder, like, who moved here with him, and mm-hmm. like, where does he live, and how is he learning, you know, about how to just, like, go about life as, like, you know, a guy on his own now. I guess I heard from, I think it was maybe Travis Demers' podcast, talking about how, like, Rodney Billups, because he had so much time with working all those college, because he was like a college coach for like 10 years, that he's kind of the guy who works with the young guys on learning that, on, like, kind of just, like, learning what you're supposed to do as a grown up on your own now. So I'm really curious to watch that journey and see that journey. I'm always, you know, like, when Anfernee came, also another guy, super young, you know, it was pretty clear that, like, he came out here with his parents, and he was tied to his parents, and his parents were going to make sure that he was settled and, you know, had everything in order. I don't know. I don't know, you know, who Shaden is out here with. I'd be really curious to find out, but he seems to be thriving. Like, it's so like, I've been watching The Bench a lot and watching him and his, you know, the other guy, the younger guys, and how they all get along on the bench, and they clearly like really like each other. And, you know, to have Damian Lillard, you know, as a vet on your team, like, you know, like, gosh, he's set up pretty well to succeed, I think, from this point on.
I'm actually really happy for him that he got a vet like Dame in his, you know, in his, on his team, because there are some teams that I don't think the vets are as like generous with their time and effort to develop the younger players, that they leave that more to the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And I think that Dame is a really great vet for him to like learn also to honestly learn the ropes of the industry, and also how to like use the industry to your advantage, you know? Like, because Dame did a really good job becoming a great member of his community, a really great businessman, like a really like a compassionate like philanthropist. Like, he's found a lot of ways to develop all the extra stuff around basketball that I think is like high character and like good for like long term success and happiness. I have a couple little tidbits I want to share with you before we move on to Gary.
I'm actually thinking that you should definitely, I think we should just hold off and do Gary next week so that we can give Shaden, you know, all the time that we want. And then we can also do the social media player week. So go for it.
Okay. So he likes the Vampire Diaries.
I love the Vampire Diaries. Oh my God. I'm so excited. How did you find this out?
I saw it in an interview from like, I think it was when he was, it was like when he was doing like pre-draft stuff or something. He was talking about how he was into the first season of Vampire Diaries, and how he's like, oh, it's kind of girly, but I like it.
I wonder if he's Team Stefan or Team Damon.
I don't know. God. You should get somebody to ask.
I love it.
And also he really likes Avatar the movie and was excited to see Avatar 2. He said, oh my goodness, I can't wait for the next sequel. I saw the previews and I cannot wait for the movie.
Oh,
so excited. I hope you got a chance to see Avatar 2, and if somebody on the team took him, I would be all for that.
Sounds like a good wholesome activity. I remember when they were doing the what's your favorite Christmas song. His was Santa Baby, and I had questions. I was like,
wait,
Santa Baby,
is that a Canadian thing? I don't know anything about Canada Christmas. Oh,
maybe we could just say that's a popular Canadian song. I was just like, huh, Santa Baby, okay.
Everybody else's was like, you know, like
Jingle Bells or Rudolph.
Or All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
Oh, yeah.
That was
a popular one.
Yeah. But Santa Baby.
I know. I think he's a romantic. Because if he likes Vampire Diaries, you know, maybe he's got a romantic soul.
Yeah. I really hope that we get... I really hope we get more of his personality, because I was realizing as I was reading through his whole life story up until this point, like, other people have been speaking for him so much. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what has been, I think, frustrating for people about knowing like what he wants and his intentions, is that somebody else was speaking for him. And I hope that he really gets a chance to like exercise his own voice and tell everybody what he's about and who he is, because, you know, like when you're, that's like, I felt like for me at that age, that was like a big part of me growing up. Is for me to figure out how to like represent myself and who I was. Mm-hmm. Cause you know, when you're young, your kids do, or your parents do a lot of speaking for you as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for him, it was like his parents slash also his basketball mentor. And, you know, I think I think that Portland will really embrace genuine Shaden,
mm-hmm.
and like really love him for him when he comes up out of his shell. And every time that he has a little bit, like, we've all noticed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've already noticed him starting to like smile just a little bit, not getting, you know, too big for, you know, but like smiling a little bit when he does those big dunks, like going, okay, yeah, this is a special talent that I have. I mean, it'll be exciting to see what he does in the dunk contest. Yes. I Cassidy is like the number one dunk contest fan. And I always like hated how I like have a really hard time getting up for the dunk contest. Cause I like in-game dunks to me, like the dunk contest is just like, it's just a chance for everybody to stand up and like hit their heads and like hold up a 10, you know, except for Aaron Gordon. But I don't know. I can't get that excited about it, especially when I see what he can do in a game.
Yeah. I will say this about the dunk contest. It lacks the like the speed of an in-game dunk. And so that's some of the magic, right? The speed and power of an in-game dunk.
Mm-hmm.
The planned dunks. I mean, like for a while, it just felt like everybody was jumping over something bigger and better. And I was like, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. Like, but like the power and speed of the in-game dunk is just unmatched.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Like I kind of am bummed that the dunk contest turned into like an early career thing. Because some of the great dunks that we remember, I mean, I guess some of those guys were early career, but a lot of them were stars when they did the dunk contest before. Mm-hmm. Now it's like people are like, who? And they have to Google people that are in the dunk contest. Like, who does this guy play for? I don't recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's been the case for the last several years for me.
I'm just like, I kind of forgot that Ant won. And I was actually a little disappointed. I heard somebody ask him a question, like, what advice did you give for Shaden about the dunk contest? And he was like, make all of your first dunks, because it'll make everything a lot easier if you make your first attempt. And I'm like, that's it? Google that one.
yeah, I'm super curious to see, because it's like we have a kid who gets technicals for jumping too high now. he's, you know, sticking his, you know, his arm in the cylinder, or like just doing things that it's like that only happened because he jumped too high.
Yeah.
And it was one of the things that stood out to me from my conversation with Dan last week is, you know, we all know Dan is like the number one Anfernee Simons fan on the planet. And he brought up his conversation with Anfernee about Shaden, and when Anfernee said, I'm no longer the most athletic guy in the gym. And the way that Anfernee described it to Dan was, Anfernee said, I need a runway and Shaden can do it in a phone booth. And that really described to me like what I was like not able to put into words about the way Shaden can do it, because he is so explosive that he can just be standing down there and then suddenly his head is up above the rim and he doesn't need to like, you know, have a giant run up to do it. He can just be like down there, like in the dunker spot, just standing there. And suddenly, you know, he's like hitting the backboard, and it's like, it's so fun to watch. And I love it when he wears his white, my new thing is when he wears his white jersey and he goes sailing in for those dunks, he looks like an angel. He's just like an angel flying in from heaven for those dunks in that beautiful white uniform. So I've been calling him an angel lately.
That you should make a Photoshop of that.
You don't even need a Photoshop. I'm trying to get one, the one where he like kind of came in sideways. I can't, and they never like, I have not seen a still of it. I had to get it from like by slowing down, but he was, God, I can't remember which game it was, but he just came flying in on an alley-oop and it was just so beautiful. That yeah, he just, I guess I could just add little wings and a little halo. Well, that was, anything else you want to share about Shaden?
I do want to say this. Shaden allegedly has the highest vertical in NBA history. Speaking of high flying, which is 49 inches.
Oh my God. That's so high.
Yeah. Do you know who had the NBA record before that?
Was it Pat Connaughton?
No. It's Keon Johnson.
Oh.
Keon, I like it. Johnson. So they're both on the same team. We got a lot of high flyers on this team.
They should put Keon in the dunk contest too.
I know. Keon, I feel like Keon doesn't play enough minutes for people to know that he's so crazy athletic. Like, I've seen sometimes Clippers Twitter knows. Like, Clipper, because he was a Clipper before he was on our team. And I think a lot of Clippers fans were, like, a little sad to see him go because, like, he's so athletic that the potential is, you know, is the ceiling on his potential is quite high. But, man, like, it's really weird to have such an athletic team. Like, we haven't really had a team like this in a, I don't know, I can't even think of, like, I don't know if we've ever had a team this athletic. Like, I remember everybody was like, oh, when Mo Harkless came, they were like, oh, Mo's the most athletic. And, like, Mo just looks like par for the course on this team.
Yeah.
Mo is the most athletic Blazer we've ever had. Well, is he? Not anymore. I don't even know if he makes my top five now. Maybe.
Yeah. No, they have some guy. And I hope, I mean, I don't know. Being a GM is hard, but I would really love to be able to see Keon's development. And I don't know if he'll, you know, be traded someday. But it would be really fun to watch how those guys grow together. Cause it's been so long since we've had a core grow together. I mean, with Dame and CJ, but you know, they're in their thirties now. And now we have these young guys that, I would love to see, because I think he's a good defender too. You know, he's a guard who can also play defense, and like, I would expect that can get better, especially if he's playing with a guy like Gary Payton, who can, you know, teach him some of the things that he knows. And then he could, you know, learn some offensive stuff from Dame and Ant. Would be cool. I just would love to see Keon stay here and watch and see what he becomes. But I have a feeling that he probably won't be here for a lot of his career, but who knows?
You know, sometimes those guys that are like early career and like with a lot of potential, but not like so much that everybody's clawing to like get in on that, sometimes they just hang out like kind of under the radar for a long time. And like, you know, suddenly just pop out of the ground like spring.
Yeah, we shall see. Well, thank you for bringing all that awesome stuff about Keon and trying to help us untangle what happened to him
with Shaden. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Keon on the mind. Yeah, with Shaden.
I still don't know for sure that that's everything. Like, it's very hard to find unbiased coverage of this. And also because a lot of it was happening kind of shadily. Like, you just don't know for sure everything that's true and that's not.
Yeah, no, but
take that with a grain of salt, Rip City.
Yeah, very important caveats where you got your information and then just how the people who got their information were getting their information.
Yeah, unnamed sources close to the player and unnamed sources close to the college all have a point of view.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, I'm grateful that you had a chance to try to uncover it. And we'll talk about Gary Payton too next time.
Yes.
Because I have a lot to say about him. And I don't want to take up too much more time because we have a social media player of the week to discuss. So should we pivot to that?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, this week. Three players to nominate. The first one is Nurk for getting off of social media. The second.
I think that that's a great social media player of the week nominee, because sometimes I'm like, maybe we should all get off social.
I know. Honestly, when I learned that he had got off social, I panicked. I worried about him so much. My immediate thought was, oh no, what's wrong? Somebody go check on him and make sure he's okay. And that's because it followed that press conference where he sat there and like took all this responsibility for stuff that I don't necessarily know was his fault. Like, yeah, you've been having a lot of turnovers, bud. Like, yeah, I'll let you take, I'll let you take responsibility for that. But like, for the most part, he's been showing up and he's been playing hard and he's been protecting those little guards and he's been asked to do things differently and he's been doing it. And I felt like he just looked so demoralized, and I don't know how he was actually feeling. This is just my observation, but he just looked like a guy who had been absolutely demoralized and told this was all his fault. You better go out and take responsibility. Yeah. And maybe he came to that all in his own. He decided it was his fault, but I don't think it was his fault. And then when he got off social, I was like, oh my gosh, is this because, you know, he's been, you know, people have just been so loud online and have been like repeating this and it's just been hurting him. Is it because, you know, he feels bad and social media makes him feel worse? And then some other people were like, maybe he just wants to like focus on basketball. And I was like, okay, that's really good. That's a good way to look at it. And maybe he just thinks the only way he can like stay off social is just actually getting rid of them. Cause I don't know if I could just stay off them without actually getting rid of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think that someone asked him that question. I don't remember who asked him that question, but someone asked him that question at like a press conference. And he said he just wanted to focus on basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's the key.
I still also just hope that he's okay, because just for him to take on so much, and you know, I saw a lot of people say it's good that he's taking responsibility, and mm-hmm. like, yeah, I get it, but you know, we talked about how Nurk needs a carrot. Like, Nurk needs a specific kind of motivation, and mm-hmm. it's not yelling at him and telling that him he's doing everything wrong. You know, and some people are like, well, maybe he knows that he's getting traded. And I just worry when somebody does something that drastic, that, you know, I want people to check on him and make sure that they're doing okay. But he seems like he's doing okay, because he came out and had a really nice game. And you know, so I just miss him. And maybe this means that we'll get more content from his cats. You know, maybe
I would love that.
Maybe he won't be posting on his own behalf, but maybe suddenly Rumi, Zumi, and Tiramisu will, you know, have more going on in their account. I will definitely check that when we're done. So that's okay. Our first nominee. Do you want to do the next one?
Yes. Josh Hart had two good tweets this week. The first one was on January 11th, and he said, I can play 35 minutes in an NBA game and be good, but I'll always be out of breath going up steps. And I'm like, sir, this is why you're so relatable.
I know. I don't know of a single person who is not like, I totally relate.
And it's also like nice to remind yourself, like, oh, these guys, like, they are superhuman in some ways and regular human in others.
I wonder, I never read any of the comments that he got. I wonder if he got any negative comments about that. I'm sure he did. There's always somebody, right?
There's always somebody. And so the other tweet that he had was on January 14th, and he said, Sun really doesn't come out here, huh?
Oh, buddy.
And I was like, a part of me was like, I was like, oh no, I hope that doesn't mean you're unhappy here. But then all of a sudden he came out and had a great game. And I'm like, I wonder if maybe Josh Hart might be finding out that he is affected, like his emotional state is affected by the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like how a lot of Oregonians, well, we all just, people who have seasonal affective disorder, like they all know that they've got it if they live here.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he got a lamp and started taking vitamin D and accepted the fact that this is just kind of how it is right now. But what he doesn't know, because he hasn't been here, I guess he was here in February. We always get that wonderful week in February.
Yeah, that's right. So, I don't know what week is about, but it's just like weather vacation.
Yeah, we always get like a little sneak peek for spring in February. So he'll have that to coming up. Yeah, Josh is good on Twitter.
We always say to ourselves, we get that week and then we're like, it's never going to be gloomy again. And then the next week it's gloomy for like many, many more weeks.
Yeah, I know. I'm always like, whatever the weather is now, that's what it's going to be forever and for the rest of my life. And then it changes. And I'm like, oh, this is what it's actually going to be like for the rest of my life.
Josh, you're right. Josh Hart is just a great Twitter follow. Just in general. He's great on Twitter. Yeah. Master of Twitter.
He really is. We had a third, but both of us are guilty of not remembering to get a screenshot, because it was a story from Keon Johnson. And it was a picture of him and Trendon and I think Shaden and Jabari or Greg Brown. It was a picture of him with all the young guys.
I think Greg Brown is in the far right.
Okay. Yeah. And it was just I was moved by it because I was so delighted to see the young guys forming this bond and sort of identifying themselves as a group, because it feels like it's been a long time. Like we were just talking about earlier. It feels like it's been a long time. Like there's always like, you know, in the past GM, you know, we'd get a bunch of new players and they'd be like the best, you know, players that had ever played around, you know, Damian Lillard, and maybe we'd have a second round pick that we would add to that or whatever. And then, you know, we would sort of move on, and we didn't really get to see much gelling. And I see gelling happening with the young players, especially now that like Jabari's getting minutes, you know, Shaden has been getting minutes, you know, Keon occasionally gets them. I would love to see a Summer League Finals MVP champion, Trendon, get on the floor more just for his like skill at talking and communicating. But I think his time will come. He has to kind of get used to this. Like he sort of got like an introduction to the league last year that he wasn't expecting and probably kind of got used to that. And so it's probably going to be kind of an adjustment for him to be like, oh, I'm not the best player on the team anymore.
When I saw that Keon Johnson post, immediately what went to my head was, oh, maybe this is going to be one of our candidates for best friendship.
Good call.
Cause like, I love that. Like them finding their own little click, like the young guys finding their click. Cause you know, I mean, it's great when the whole team obviously has a good dynamic, but it's also nice to see those like smaller cliques like really support each other and cheer for each other and develop together. Guys are on the same like kind of career arc, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been watching the bench a lot because it's January now. We have a lot of home games, so I'm going to a lot of home games and I've got my binoculars and I've been watching the bench and they're having a good time. And like last night, Jabari and Trendon were having like some kind of a dance off and they were just cracking each other. They were just hilarious. And like, you know, Shaden and Keon will be talking to each other and like, or Shaden and Trendon will be talking to each other and Trendon will just be holding his sides from laughing so hard. So like Shaden is also clearly like an entertaining guy and makes these guys laugh, but it's just wonderful to watch that chemistry develop.
They're so joyful. Also, mm-hmm. Gary Payton is so joyful on that bench.
Yeah.
I love it. And I saw, yeah. did you see Sean Hyken's tweet last night about how Gary Payton is the biggest shit talker we've had on the team since Mario Hezonja, but the only difference is that Gary Payton second is good.
Yeah. I'm really curious about that, about his trash talk. Because one of the things that, you know, you can't talk about Gary Payton without talking about, or you know, without his dad and the ways that they are so different. That's like the teaser for next week. They are so, so, so different. And one of the things that really stuck out to me is like, we know like what a trash talker, you know, the older Gary Payton is. And when you watch the younger Gary Payton on the floor, the first thing that he does is he picks everybody up, even the other players. And I'm like, Gary Payton would never have done that. And Gary Payton too is out there like lifting up everybody who falls down. And it's like, to me, that was like such a stark difference. And so like, I can't imagine that he's like saying the I really want to know like what kinds of stuff he's talking, what kinds of things that he is saying. Cause I listened to a podcast about Gary Payton talking about the kinds of things that he said. And I don't think that flies anymore. Let's just say. And it just also does not seem like the type of personality that GP2 has. Not a guy who like the first thing is like, it doesn't matter what team the guy is on, he goes and he helps somebody up. That just doesn't seem. So I'm like, is he trash talking him? Or is he just like being really super annoying? You know? Because I see him being super annoying, like being all up in everybody and like not letting him get. Oh, my God. It's so fun to watch. I just don't know. And I mean, obviously, I don't know. I just don't know that like, is he actually trash talking or is he just like talking and being really annoying?
I think of him as like he's just like a fast talker. Like, yeah. I mean, that was my perception of him. He's just always talking. Yak, mm-hmm. yak, 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 yak.
Yeah.
I feel like Evan Turner had that streak in him a little bit, too. And CJ could get in the mix. But like Gary Payton just looks like he's always got it going.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he talks a lot and I can imagine him talking a lot on the court, but I just can't imagine it being the type of trash talk that his dad did. We don't know what Mario Hezonja was saying either. So to compare it to Mario Hezonja, Sean might be able to give us a little more to enlighten us on that.
I was going to say he was not on my like list of guys that was a trash talker, quite honestly. I mean, good for him, but I don't remember that about him at all.
Got to make a mark in your league somehow.
That's right. Okay, so do you have any feelings about who you think this week's winner is?
Well, I don't think we can do Keon. I would love to give it to Keon, but since we don't have actual evidence, it was ethereal and it vanished with all the other stories. don't think we can give it to him. And I don't know, can we give it to somebody for going off social media? Because that was a really good play.
It's a really good play. And I think we can.
Okay. And Josh Hart is just such a perennial favorite that I'm sure he'll have a chance to earn his spot back.
I feel like Josh Hart is like, even though he doesn't win every week, he's like a front runner for the season, for the year, the end of the year award, the big one, because he's here every week.
Yeah, right. Crushing exactly. 20. Yeah. So congratulations to Nurk for winning social media player of the week for getting off of social media.
Well earned, sir. And you're playing great basketball right now. I know that people are down on him about his like turnovers and whatever, but like for Nurk is locked in. He's trying really hard. He's working really hard. And also I've noticed they started letting him play the pick and roll more. And he's just like, him and Dame are like right at home. It's like coming back to their hometown and running the streets.
That does look wonderful. Like I thought I was so tired of that. And turns out I'm not. No. Turns out I welcome to see that again.
And they probably have like the oldest chemistry of any of the guys left on this team. Like it used to be Dame and CJ and now it's Dame and Nurk.
Yeah. They're the longest standing members of the team. Well, this has been great talking to you, Rose. Thanks for all of the great Shaden information. Do you want to tell folks how they can find you?
I need to ask you one quick question, though.
Oh, yeah.
What's your take this week?
Oh, what's my take? Oh, golly. I'm so bad at takes. Do you have one?
I do have one.
Okay, you go.
So I was looking at a couple of the lineups this last game, and I was like, I always kind of wonder, I'm like, who's running this joint? Who's running the offense here? Who's the playmaker on the floor? And I think I've decided that in some of these awkward lineups, I think that Gary Payton, too, is a playmaker. Mm. He has great court vision. He's always looking for the right pass. Like, you see a lot of the times Gary Payton picks up the ball. He gets the ball passed to him, and he immediately knows where it's going next. It's, like, already leaving his hands when it arrives. And a lot of times it results in a bucket. And I'm just saying, I think Gary Payton, too, is a playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take.
I think that's a great take. I think my take is that Shaden is going to do something tonight against Dallas that's going to make the highlights and is going to be the buzz for next week.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Speak it into existence. Are you going?
Yes, yes. Yeah,
good.
Been going to a lot of games, so I am looking forward to it tonight. I wonder if Luke is going to play. I don't know.
Is he not supposed to? He's not supposed to.
It's back to back.
Oh,
and you know,
right?
He's only 23, but he frequently, I believe, sits on the second night on back to backs. So, but I don't know. He's probably pretty mad about last night. I'm afraid he's going to put up like 60 tonight.
I can't talk about it.
I know. But, you know, like I said, Blazers defense hasn't been bad. Like, they're not great, but I think they're a lot better than they've been.
That's not the problem. It's not the problem right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So if they can just make Luka's life hard, that will make me happy. And, you know, I'm a person who doesn't mind, you know, losses are not like the worst. Winning is more. I more love to win than hate to lose. So
there you go.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now tell people where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rose L. Harding. You can also find me in the We Have a Take Discord, which I don't think I've added a link to in our Twitter profile, but I should. I'll just put it there. It's fine.
It's also in the descriptions of the podcast.
Perfect.
And you can find me. Oh, sorry.
No, I was like, Tara, where can people find you?
At TCB Biggs on Twitter. And you can find the What Podcast at We Have a Take. And thank you everyone for listening to us. Thanks to Eric Peterson for our awesome intro and outro music. You're awesome. And go Blazers!